It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers. G'day everyone, welcome to episode 80 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, a betting preview of UFC Fight Night at the Apex. Back at the Apex now, with the main event being Alistair Overeem versus Alexander Volkov. As always, joined by smart sports trader, ex-MMA fighter, Ryan Bruner. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Very, very good, mate. Been a couple of weeks since we spoke last. Won't be joined by Jonas, as always. The man's just, he's just too busy. So
busy guy.
I don't know. He's just doing important stuff. So just me and you again today, mate. But I was just looking over the results of the last podcast, the McGregor Poirier, and then we also covered the Chiesa Magny one. And it was actually, I think we went about, I'm looking at the results now, we basically got 3 out of 6 right, but we actually got some decent closing line value, or CLV, on basically all of the fights. So I was looking at
before,
which is probably what we should be tracking, not whether we're picking winners or not, like whether we're...
Well, to be fair, if you're betting like props, like, you know, when you're taking on the prop markets, I don't know if you can really use CLV too much in like MMA props, like the liquidity is not massive. And even in some of the other fights, sometimes I don't, you know, believe that the CLV is always bang on, but obviously it's like one of the best indicators we have, so...
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I mean, for the ones that we could look at, we definitely got the Dalcha tip that you put. Dalcha Lord, I'm not going to bother saying his last name. He was at 173 when you were talking about him, and he went down to 159, where he closed at Pinnacle at 159. Mike Davis, well, he closed basically the same as you put out. Chiesa lost by submission. Pena was good too, 2.1. She closed at 1.98. I think I had her on the money line, but you had her inside the distance at 4.25, so that was even better.
Yeah.
Hooker was another one. I think we were talking about it. He was at 1.8, and he closed at 1.67. And then the Poirier McGregor fight. We didn't really give out too much there. We were kind of just speculating because it's a bit of a hard one, that one, but. You know, you would have got some, you'd have made some decent coin if you had Poirier in that one.
Yeah, you would have, yeah. I think Jonas had him, didn't he? And I was going to bet him at the end of round one. I've been betting all day Saturday, and then I woke up to watch the fights, and I was just like, I've had enough of, you know, the computer screen, so I shut it down, watched the fight, and then at the end of round one, I was like, you know, Poirier's, you know, he's implementing his game plan here, so I got my phone out, tried to get some odds up, and he'd finished him already, but I think at the end of round one, he was like still 4.1, yeah, 4.2, so... I mean, that would have been a good bet, but you'll get another one of them will come along eventually. So
yeah, most certainly. All right, mate. Well, we'll get into today's podcast. We are going to talk about the two big fights on the card on Saturday. Oh, I don't know what Saturday night in America, Sunday morning in Europe. Frankie Edgar and Corey Sandhagen, and then also Overeem and Volkov. And then outside of those two fights, we'll see what you have for us, mate. Quiz question for the week. My quiz question, I haven't even written it down, so I'll try and remember it, but it was, how many fights have Frankie Edgar and Alistair Overeem fought? MMA fights, that is.
Wow, that's a good one.
So I'll give you, it's obviously impossible to get the number, or at least you'd be doing a bloody good job. So we'll go, I'll give you an over-under. I'll go over or under 100. So if you combine their two MMA fight totals together, how many fights are they?
All right.
Cool, mate. Well, let's get into it. Outside of the co and main event, is there anything taking your interest?
Yeah, so I've had a look over the prelims and not had a chance to dig deep into every single prelim fight, but one that stood out to me was Song Woo Choi, who's fighting Youssef Zalal. And that's one of the early prelim fights. So Song Woo Choi, 28, is fighting out of South Korea. He's had 3 fights in the UFC. Most recently beat a guy called Suman Mokhtarian, who's a fellow Aussie. So, you know, you got one there. Before that, he lost to Gavin Tucker and Mosvar Evloev, who are both really good wrestlers. And he's not fought since December 2019. And his opponent, Youssef Zalal's, fought 4 times in 2020. So that's kind of just something that, you know, might be a negative for him. But I really like the guy, you know, despite his 2 losses in the UFC, he's fought really tough competition. You know, he's very rangy. He uses his reach really well. He's got good stand-up. He's got a Muay Thai background. You know, he's got good kicks. And he doesn't rush things either. He's quite a patient guy. And Zalal, he kind of dances around on the outside a lot. He's very explosive in and out. He like moves side to side and then like darts in. And I don't think that Sung Woo Choi will really bite too much for that. And I think he's got a good style to kind of keep him on the outside and pick him off with like straight punches and low kicks. And Sung Woo Choi's wrestling is pretty decent, although he did get out wrestled by Tucker and Evloev. You know, he showed some resistance in those fights. He showed that he's not helpless on the ground. He has got some ground skills himself. So, like, a slight concern again in his chin. He has been knocked out before. He was knocked out in one of his Korean fights quite early, within a minute. So he got caught cold there. And I did watch his fight against Mokhtarian, and he took a shot there that wobbled him a bit. So he's not got, like, that famous South Korean chin that some of these guys, you know, like Korean Zombie, you know, he's got just a renowned chin. So unfortunately, he doesn't have that. But I think, he had a good chin as well. And there was another guy that fought Peter Yan as well. I don't know which guy he lost, didn't he? And then kind of disappeared. And it was like the same guy that fought Peter Yan as well. He just had a ridiculous chin. But unfortunately, yeah, this choice doesn't seem to have, you know, that famous South Korean chin. But I think he could be a problem for Youssef Zalal. I mean, Zalal does look like a really good fighter, but he's not massive for that weight. He's going to be giving up some reach. He likes to use his kickboxing. He likes to stay on the outside. He has got decent wrestling, but I think from what I've seen that he doesn't have a huge wrestling advantage over Choi. So given that you can get Choi at about 3.0, you can get a little better on the exchanges. I think that's worth a bet.
Yeah, okay, yeah, just looking at the odds now, yeah, you can get 3s at Bet365 and Betfred. So would you go much lower than that?
I'd just take that 3 if you can get it. I wouldn't. I mean, Zalal, like I say, he fought 4 times last year. He's kind of, you know, a bit of recency bias going on. He's more well-known. I don't think that Choi will probably get backed until, I mean, there might be some sharp money that comes on late, but I don't think that price will disappear. And another thing is that Zalal's taking this fight on short notice as well. Like Choi's had about 2 different opponents drop out, so Zalal's taking this on like a week's notice. So obviously that's something you've got to consider too. But yeah, it just looks a bit too wide for me. I think, you know, Choi should be a little bit shorter, maybe like the 2.7, 2.8 range.
Okay. All right. Awesome, mate. And yeah, for those who want to know what happened to Doo Hoi Choi, because I'm fascinated, because you know, there was so much noise about him. And I was just looking up his record on Sherdog, and he lost to Cub Swanson, Stevens, and Charles Jourdain by knockout 3 times in a row. He lost to Cub Swanson by decision, and then he hasn't fought since December 21, 2019. I might have a guess here, and it is just a massive guess that he might be doing like his military service or something for South Korea, because isn't that a thing? Like
possibly, yeah. Like Korean Zombie had to do that, yeah.
Yeah, Zombie did it for 2 years, and even like what's his name, Sun, Hong Ming Sun or whatever his name is for Tottenham, he did like 3.
Oh right, yeah.
He did 2 months or something. I don't know, something like that. But
possibly. I don't know. It's just like I say, it's just kind of gone quiet, hasn't it? So.
Yeah, maybe I should just do some quick research now to see if he's doing his military. Just turn this podcast into a Doo Hoi Choi. Where's he gone?
What did they call him? The Korean Wonder Boy. Did they call him that?
The Korean Super Boy.
Super Boy, that was it. Yeah.
But I remember his fight with Cub Swanson, and that was epic. Yeah.
Yeah, came in and yeah, he was just knocking guys out originally, wasn't he? He was yeah, he was going to be like the next Asian superstar, but just didn't, you know, fell through. But
yeah, all right, mate. Anything other than the yeah, any other fights in the prelims or in the main event that you like?
Yeah, so I just had a little look, just, you know, look over the props and see if there's any value. And I think there's two kind of value props on the undercard. So one of them is Danilo Marquez. He's fighting a guy called Mike Rodriguez. And you can get Danilo Marquez submission at 7.5 or so. I'll just bring it up myself. I think that's with Betfair Paddy Power Group. Sorry.
Yeah, 7.5 Marquez by decision. I'll bring it up on my screen too.
No, by submission, sorry.
Yeah,
7.5. Yeah, 7.5. Yeah, so I just, like Marquez, he's not the greatest stand-up fighter, and Rodriguez is probably going to piece him up on the feet, but he will go for takedowns and he will try and initiate grappling. And we've seen kind of Rodriguez be submitted before, like most recently. I think he got submitted by Herman. And Marquez trains with Damian Maia, so, you know, he's obviously going to be pretty adept at submissions, and I just think it just stood out to me as, like, you know, Marquez knows that to win this fight he's going to have to grapple, and and we've seen Rodriguez be submitted and kind of be susceptible to getting caught with stuff. So 7.5, that's I think that's pretty decent.
Cool, mate. And was that all, or I think you had something else?
Yeah, and then there was one more, and that was also a submission prop, and that's Clay Guida. And I could say that you could get Clay Guida to win by submission at 12 over Michael Johnson. And it's kind of a similar style matchup, I suppose. It's like he's going to be outmatched on his feet. Johnson's, you know, very fast. He's got good combination punching. And Guida's going to need to wrestle and get this fight to the floor to have a chance of winning. And then again, we've seen Johnson, like in his fight with Darren Elkins, you know, he kind of just gave him a choke. And you know, we've seen him time after time give up submissions. Johnson, he seems to be a guy that doesn't really like being put on his back. Like, well, nobody does really, but he, you know, he seems like sometimes he finds a way out. And you know, although Guida hasn't been submitting guys recently, he does have a few submissions in his arsenal. He's got decent chokes, and again, just odds of 12 just stands out to me that that's a pretty decent prop to take. So.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good to me, mate. It's incredible to think that Guida's still going around. Just on that subject, like, it's I mean, he's been fighting for a very, very, very long time, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started watching it, I think he was like fighting on the undercards and stuff. So yeah, he's must be like 15 years, I imagine, at least.
Has he still? I haven't watched him for a long time, but he's still got that wacky style with the head movement and body.
Like herky-jerky style. Yeah, I think he's tamed it down a little bit, but he used to be like really wild, didn't he? He was like non-stop, just bobbing about, half line everywhere.
Yeah, he's a character. All right, mate, let's get into Frankie Edgar, Corey Sandhagen. For some reason, I always think his name's Cody, so I'm sorry if I call him Cody, but he's, for those who don't know, an up-and-comer in the division, only one loss to Sterling in the UFC by submission. And he's coming off that very, very, I would say, very impressive performance over Marais. Like, to be able to outstrike Marlon Marais in the first round, obviously Marais is susceptible to a knockout nowadays and susceptible to gassing. He outstruck him in that first round, and that is a very, very impressive thing to do. Edgar, second fight in the bantamweight division, coming off that win also against Pedro Munhoz, split decision win. I actually do not remember. This is just the weirdest thing. I was looking at Edgar's record. I do not remember that fight versus Pedro Munhoz. Maybe something weird was going on in my life, and I just completely missed that fight. But I was looking at the scorecards for that because I saw a split decision. I was looking at MMA decisions, which is quite a good place to go for media scorecards. And I would say like 80% of the media had it for Munhoz. Do you remember that fight and how you might have scored it?
Yeah, I had a look at it. And I do think Munhoz should have probably got the decision. He was landing like decent leg kicks. It seemed to slow Edgar down. Edgar's boxing was pretty effective. He was landing shots, but I don't know what the numbers were at the end of it, but I thought personally that Munoz had done enough to win. So,
yeah.
It's just one of them, really, where the judges, I don't think, maybe it's five rounds, but, you know, like, quite, I mean, it was quite close, but you thought that, you know, that Pedro Munoz did the most damage during the fight and kind of, yeah, I don't know what they really saw. Maybe they just saw, like, Edgar's activity.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, I can't comment on it at all. I seriously cannot remember that fight. Maybe I was in the middle of a friggin' hurricane in Mexico or something like that. That must have been what was going on, because I cannot remember that fight. All right, so what are your thoughts on this one, mate? I guess it's an interesting fight. Like, you've got the Corey Sandhagen, you kind of get the impression that he's just going to keep getting better and better as he goes along in his career at the moment. And Frankie, like, he's just a stalwart, isn't he? Like, he just, I don't know how he's still around. And I think it's the most impressive thing is, like, you normally see this in the heavyweight or the light heavyweight division, like someone able to, like, hang around and compete with the top five, top 10 guys. But, like, for a lighter weight guy, he's 39 years old. For him to still be fighting the likes of Corey Sandhagen and compete with guys like Pedro Munoz, like, that is just incredible.
Yeah, it's really impressive, like you say, and coming down as well from, 155 as well, coming all the way down to 135, that's, you know, that's something that not a lot of fighters can do. I think the fight's been set up, obviously, to... like push Sandhagen on, and he looks like he could potentially be, you know, a champion and someone that the UFC are going to start promoting quite heavily, because he's got a really great style to watch. You know, he's very fluid. You know, he switches stances. He's got really good kicks, knees, elbows. He's pretty much the whole package, isn't he? The only weakness we have seen is his wrestling, and like, obviously Sterling was able to negate all the good stuff that Sandhagen can do quite quickly. And pushing him up against the fence and get his back and get that choke in. And Edgar has shown decent wrestling in the past. Like, I don't know if you remember the Yair Rodriguez fight. That was a kind of a similar setup, and you had this kind of explosive youngster who was looking really good, and Edgar just came in and put him on his back and battered him. So I do think Edgar has a shot in this fight. I mean, Sandhagen could have an off day. You know, everybody does have off days. It's only three rounds, so while Sandhagen could be, you know, winning the striking for like 3 minutes and landing the better shots, if Edgar's able to take him down and get some top control and ride out, you know, those 2 minutes, he only needs two rounds to do that. So when I've looked at this fight, I just think Sandhagen's a little bit too short. Obviously, I wouldn't be backing him on the money line because it's MMA and, you know, he does have that. We have seen that wrestling be exploited before. So I think the Edgar decision, 6.5, I think that's a pretty decent play.
Yeah, so I forgot to mention, so best odds you can get for Sandhagen, sorry, I was bringing up my screen, best odds you can get for Sandhagen at 1.25 Skybet, BetVictor, you can basically get it most places, and Frankie, you can get him at 4.5 on Bet365, and yeah, I'll bring up the method of victory markets now. Where are we? Frankie by decision. Yeah, 6.5.
6.5, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. And the thing, I mean, I wanted to point out, like, it's gone now, but you can still get it on the exchanges, but Edgar's got two submission victories throughout his career. One was, we talked about it before, against Cub Swanson, was a crank, and also... he got a rear naked choke a while ago. I can't remember who it was against, but I think it was towards the start of his career. But he was, so you could get him at 21s for submission, even 19s at Paddy Power. Like, I mean, if you just want to have a, you know, little fiver or something on it, like, it's just might be worth a little speculator, because maybe that should be a little bit shorter. And adding to that, that Corey Sandhagen has only one loss in the UFC, and he did get caught by, I think it was it a rear naked or a guillotine choke by Sterling?
I think it was a rear naked choke from what I remember. I'm pretty sure it was rear naked choke.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, yeah, maybe like you pointed out, decision or submission victory by Edgar might be worth a play there. The only other thing I thought might be interesting was Sandhagen by finish. because he obviously showed some very impressive stand-up against Marias and also Edgar. I mean, Edgar's obviously, he's always had like a very, very good chin, but you know, it's only declining from here, and he has been caught by a few people in the past couple of years. I'm off the top of my head, Korean Zombie and Ortega. That's his two knockout losses. So he can be caught. And obviously Sandhagen's striking seems to be improving by the minute. So I thought it was interesting that I can't really find the market now, but if I just get up, will the fight go there? Oh, here it is, double chance. So I think it was, I found 2.7 for Sandhagen by finish. Do you have any? Yeah, you can still get 2.7 on Paddy Power for KO or submission. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, it seems all right. It's just, you know, like you say, Edgar is 39. He's slowing down. And Sandhagen tends to be more of a like an accumulative puncher. You know, he throws out a lot of volume. And like he stops guys. Well, obviously, yeah, he had that spinning wheel kick, didn't he, that he got Marias with. So he's obviously got, you know, fancy kicks and knees. So he could catch Edgar. Possibly, it probably seems about right to me that I think it's more likely he wins by decision. But
yeah, because I guess
I don't know. It's a tough one.
He's never really had, like, you wouldn't say he's got knockout power. Like, you can't go off a spinning wheel kick and say that he's got knockout power, can you? That's just, you know, anyone cops one of them and they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he does have knockout power. It's just I don't know. I feel like that Edgar's probably going to look to try and close the distance more. So, you know, whereas Marias was happy to trade kicks with him. But I don't know, actually, because then Edgar's got his kind of in and out style if he's just going to box up with him. But you'd think that Edgar's going to be trying to implement a wrestling heavy game. So you think those kicks wouldn't be as effective in this fight. So, yeah, like I said, when I've looked at it, it was kind of the Edgar decision line just stood out to me just because we've seen Sandhagen. Be, you know, his weakness is his wrestling. We saw Sterling, and also we've seen other guys have like little bits of success as well from memory. I think a Sun Tzu as well had a little bit of its success in the grappling department. So for me, that seems like the best bet. But yeah, I mean, if you like Sandhagen and that's the way you want to go, then, you know, I wouldn't put you off it. I just don't see a huge amount of value in it.
Yeah, no, I'm tending to agree with you. I just thought that was quite an interesting play, just on the fact that, you know, Corey's only going to get better, and, you know, if he's able to knock out someone like Marias with something impressive like that, then maybe he's got a few more strikes to his arsenal over time. But yeah, I guess we'll wait and see. Do you see any like movements coming in at the moment? Like, do you think Edgar might shorten or Sandhagen might shorten?
I think it'd be more likely that you'd see some money coming on Frankie Edgar. I mean, just looking at Pinnacle, it looks like he did go up to 4.75 on the 23rd of January, and then he's come in since then. So, you know, all the money's not been on Sandhagen. You'd think recreational money would probably be on Sandhagen just because he had that really good KO. So, I mean, if I was just going to kind of say which one's more likely, I'd say probably Edgar might get backed in a little bit more, but I don't think it'll, I don't think either one of them will, you know, move too much now.
Yeah. All right, mate. Too easy. That was a good little insight there. Let's go on to the main event. We can get through this card pretty quickly, considering there's not too many big fights. But Volkov, I think both of these guys are really interesting cases at the moment, because you look at Volkov, and if you take away that Lewis loss, which was just a freak, it was a freak loss. Like, he was dominating the whole fight, and although it was one of the greatest moments in UFC history, because it was just the best. Like, it's just hilarious watching that knockout. But if you take away that loss, because he was winning that fight, he's only really lost one other fight, and that was to Curtis Blaydes. And we know how good Curtis Blaydes is. He's the peak of the peak. So I guess if you take all those away, he's had a pretty impressive run in the UFC so far, Alexander Volkov. And you can kind of say the same thing about Alistair Overeem in his last five fights. So he's only lost in his last five fights that one to Rosenstrike, which is in the last couple of seconds. And if he'd survived those last couple of seconds, he too would have won by decision. So you can even make an argument that Overeem's kind of on a five-fight win streak, which is another, same as Edgar, so impressive for someone of his age to be hanging around. And especially, he's off the old horse juice, and he's still going. So the man is on fire. I'll get up the odds here for everyone before you share your thoughts. But you can get Overeem at about 157, or sorry, Volkov at 157, and best odds I can see here for Overeem 2.6 on William Hill. You can get a little bit lower than that on the exchanges. My first question to you, mate, was do you think Overeem will use his wrestling, one, and two, do you think he would be able to take Volkov down to the ground?
So, like, later on in Overeem's career, we have seen him use his, like, wrestling a lot more, and it makes a lot of sense. He's not as explosive as he used to be. Obviously, his chin's always, you know, he's never had, like, a granite chin. And he's been using it more and more. And like in that Rosenstrike fight, he was using it really effectively. We saw him in his last fight against Sakai use it really effectively. So I think he will try and use it. But I think Volkov's got pretty decent takedown defense now. Like early on in his career, like I remember when he was at Bellator, he wasn't as heavily muscled. He wasn't as strong. He was a bit like Struve, was a bit of a beanpole, and you could see guys just kind of like push him against the cage and be able to control him and grind out wins that way. But since he's come into the UFC, you know, he's obviously worked on his strength and conditioning, and physically he looks really strong now. I was watching that Blades fight, and you know, Blades is at least he's the strong. Well, yeah, he's probably the best wrestler in the heavyweight division now that Cormier is out there, and he's certainly the, like, physically the strongest wrestler. So he was able to get him down, but he's just got that pure explosive, like double leg. And Overeem doesn't have that type of wrestling. He's pretty good in the clinch. He's got decent clinch trips, but Volkov's also pretty decent in the clinch, and I think he'll also negate Overeem's knees as well. Sorry, I'm tired, mate. I think he'll negate Overeem's knees just with his size. You know, it's going to be hard for Overeem to land them solid knees. He's got to obviously go up a lot higher, so he can't get the same power and torque that he normally gets with those devastating knees. So when I looked at this fight initially, I thought it'd be a bit in Overeem, but then when I looked into it more, I don't think his wrestling is going to be effective enough to get Volkov down, and then I give Volkov the cardio advantage. I give him, you know, he's got the better chin at this point. In terms of striking, I think his output's a lot better. Overeem tends to fight in bursts. Now he kind of takes a bit of time off in fights. You saw him against, like, Sakai, and you've seen it previously. He kind of just covers up and lets him come at him for a bit. And he just, like, shells up, and then he'll, you know, burst out. And then if he can't get that wrestling going and he can't land the takedowns, then I think Volkov's just going to wear on him and probably stop him, like, in the fourth or fifth round, or possibly even earlier. So I quite like Volkov, but then it's heavyweights, you know, and obviously we saw him get cracked by Lewis, so we know that he can be cracked. And sometimes he does get into, like, exchanges that he doesn't need to as well. He seems to kind of stay in the pocket and not use his reach as well as he should do. But I do favour him, but I'm not sure if I want to back him at 1.57, but equally, I don't think Overeem's got good enough wrestling either to kind of back him either. So for me, I was kind of struggling with this fight to find something to bet on, to be honest. And like with betting, as you'll know, and you know, as anyone that kind of does it profitably and seriously, you can't force bets if they're not there. So.
No, of course, mate. But the stand-up side of the fight, I assume you're leaning with Volkov, but do you think it will be like kind of a cagey affair? Like, it doesn't strike me as a fight where they're going to go hammer and tongs, you know, and search for that big KO win. Like, they're both kind of pretty, like, they're both pretty tactical on the feet. So do you think there's a chance that they could kind of stay at range for, you know, maybe the first two rounds, and then things will open up a bit more from then as they get a bit more tired and sloppy?
Yeah, possibly. Like Overeem, since, like you mentioned earlier, since he came off the crocodile meat or whatever he was taking, he's had.
No, I haven't heard that before.
Apparently, that's what it was. I remember back in the day, I was, you know, I was researching his diet. You know, I wanted to get that overeem look, and yeah, he said the crocodile me. But yeah, so I have eaten crocodile when I was in Thailand, but not since then. So no. But yeah, since obviously he's come off that, and he's had to fight a lot more strategically. I suppose he just used to kind of power into guys, didn't he, and just kind of beat guys through brute force. But yeah, he's had to adapt his style, use kind of his range and his distance and kind of his IQ, I suppose, and his timing of striking. But you know, Volkov's a hard guy to hit, isn't he? You know, he's got that massive reach advantage. Like I say, Overeem seems to kind of fight in bursts. I'm not saying Overeem can't knock him out. Obviously, it's heavyweight and he could do, but I just kind of favour Volkov. And I do think if Overeem can't get them trips, then he's going to tire. But I do think it could be quite tentative early on. I think you're right. I think both guys will be kind of, you know, trying to find the timing and trying to kind of judge the distance and the range. And you're probably right, be flicking out, you know, jabs, and maybe, you know, Volkov will do that front kick. And you probably see Reem circling quite a lot as well.
Yeah, okay, and I'm just looking at the markets here, because one of the things I did look at was the fight going the distance. Yes, or the fight to go the distance, is that you can get fours at Skybet, 3.75 and a few other places. So if it is kind of a tactical battle and they, you know, they do kind of try and keep each other on the outside and outstrike each other, then yeah, then that might be a play. But, you know, like you said, mate, it's just one of those things like Overeem. You just can't really trust his chin. Like, just take the Rosenstrike fight. The bloke was dominating the whole fight. He was about to win by decision, and he gets clipped, and it's all over. So it's like, you know, maybe the fours really isn't worth it. Maybe you could even look at the round betting, like, for it to finish in round four or five. I think you mentioned that before. So Volkov, round three, four, and five, you can get 11s for round three, you can get 15 for round four, and round five, you can get 26 at Paddy Power. So I'll just get those up on the screen now for people to have a look at. But I mean, you know, if you're desperate, if you really want to have a bet on the fight, then maybe, you know, flicking a few dollars to those speculator markets there. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you just want a fun bet, like, you know, you just want to kind of have something to cheer on, then I don't mind that. Like I say, I have had a look over this and I just couldn't really find anything that just, you know, screamed that it was value to me. So I mean, even in play, I suppose in play, if like Overeem's able to land takedowns early, Volkov's not bad off his back, and if you can get Volkov at, like, so you can get Volkov above evens after round one, if Reem's managed to take him down and stay on top, I think that'd probably be a pretty decent bet as well, because we've seen Volkov's ability to, you know, go five rounds with blades, and later on in that fight, he was stuffing blades takedowns as well. So, yeah, that might be kind of something to look at, possibly.
Yeah, I think that's the great thing about MMA, isn't it? That, like, if you're not 100% sure on a play pre-match, like, there are so many opportunities live that you can exploit. If you have a sufficient knowledge of MMA, there are lots of opportunities that can pop up, and the liquidity is not all too bad nowadays. I think it's, you know, I mean, even in the last, you know, 6 months to a year, like, I think I've seen the liquidity kind of grow in the recently. So I think overall, like, COVID's probably helped out the UFC, a lot more people watching and interested. So that's always going to help out the liquidity. So yeah, betting live in the UFC or MMA, as opposed to, you know, something like soccer or football, whatever you want to call it, it's probably a bit less efficient, would you say? Or you definitely?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's quite, you know, it's quite high pressure for the people that have to set their odds, really, because they don't have time to check what everyone else is doing. So they kind of just have to come up with something, don't they? And I imagine they've got, like, algorithms and stuff like that. But obviously when you're watching a fight, you need someone who's, you know, watching that. And then you've got arbiters coming in either side and taking prices. So, yeah, I imagine it's quite high pressure. So, yeah, they do sometimes make some massive errors. And it's if you're into MMA and you've got decent knowledge, then it can be a good way of making some money.
Definitely. All right, mate. I'll just get up on our screen. Best bets of the weekend. You know, mate, I'll let you go first this week because I'm not all too sure what I want to take here. But, yeah, you can go first, mate.
I'll just go with the first bet, which is Songwoo Choi. You can get him at 3.0 or above. I think that's a pretty decent bet. It should be easy to get. Like, even if, you know, sometimes with props, you need one. You know, you need, like, a Paddy Power account or a Skybet account. But with Songwoo Choi, you should be able to get that. With most places and on the exchange, you should be able to get better than 3.0 as well.
Yeah. All right, mate. And if I had to throw one out there, I'm just because there's nothing really I like out there this weekend, I'm just going to go the absolute speculator and I'll go Frankie by sub at 21s.
Nice.
If we get that, mate, I'll be a, I don't know, I'll be running around the house thinking I'm a genius probably. All right, you can find Ryan on Twitter at SM Sports Trader. Always a good follow throughout the UFC fights and outside of that too, providing good insight. Have a look at some of the bets he's taken. And you can check out his website, some of the reviews he's doing, check out his monthly progress. Have you put out an article yet for this month?
No, I've been writing it today, so it should probably come out tomorrow, I think.
Jeez, mate. We're already 3 days into February, or at least. So, yeah, smartsportstrader.com. Definitely go check out his website. Quiz question, mate. The bit everyone's been waiting for. How many fights have Overeem and Edgar combined for in MMA? Over or under 100?
It's going to be close to that because I know I was watching something today and it said Overeem had 67 fights. So then I'm thinking, has Edgar had like 33 fights? Oh, I bet it's really close. I'm going to say over.
You're going to go over. How many fights did you say you think Ellis has had?
67, isn't it? I'm sure I heard someone say that.
Right, and you said Edgar's had 33.
No, I was saying has he, like I was trying to weigh it up.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, for the 100.
No, you're completely right. But I, in my adding up, I had it at 99.
Did you?
I had 66.
It possibly could be, mate.
66 for Overeem and 33 for Edgar. So maybe you can go and
right.
Check that I've done my maths right there.
Probably is. They were probably saying that it's his 67th fight coming up. That's probably what I heard. There you go. So,
jeez, mate. Jeez. All right. Well, there you go. Hope you all at home enjoyed my thrilling quiz question this week. Have you got any? I was thinking because I was listening to the Ariel Helwani podcast, and I think last week or the week before they did a little quiz on there, and there were some like incredible questions on there, so I was thinking of stealing a couple of them, but I assumed like maybe a couple of our listeners already listened to that and you know they want something a bit different, so I'm always trying to reinvent the wheel here and come up with some good questions. So if you've got any good questions yourself, send them in. Always open to doing less work and being a bit lazy, so, and trying to challenge the great man himself. But terrific stuff, mate. Good stuff. We've got plenty there. I think we've gone through about 5 different fights, so hopefully there's enough fat to chew on for people out there. Next podcast coming up will be later this week, as always, going through the weekend of football. Other than that, thanks for listening. Do a quick rate and review of the podcast. That would be terrific. And subscribe to us wherever you listen to the podcast. And if you're looking to implement some of the strategies we talked about today, especially the value betting ones, start a free week trial of TradeMate Sports, start that value betting journey, and make millions of dollars, just like me and Ryan. Thanks again, mate.
See you later, buddy.